We're learning Tanya, Igos HaKodesh, the Holy Epistle, page 228, chapter 10, Yud. And the Alter Rebbe has posed a question that in the Book of Lamentations, Eicha, it says, Chaste Hashem ki lo somnu ki lo chole rechamo. It is the kindness of God that we have not finished, so to speak, and for his mercy does not cease. And he poses the question, it should say that Chaste Hashem ki lo somnu, it is the kindness of Hashem which does not cease. It shouldn't say that we do not cease. It should talk about the kindness itself that doesn't cease. That was the basic question. And he talks about how the fact that Torah is an expression of godly kindness, and yet at the same time, Torah is called Oz, which means strength, which means it's associated with Gevura as well, with severity or strength. Chesed is associated with the right hand, and Gevura, severity, associated with the left. So we see there are two aspects of Torah. So we're starting on page 228, just over halfway down the page, after the dot, and we're starting with the words Pirush, Remach, Kelim, Ulevushim. So what he's saying is that when a person learns Torah, he draws down upon himself a divine light with the keeping of the 248 positive commandments, which are called the 248 limbs of the king. And remember last week we described how when a person is expressing his own will through the movement of one of his limbs, you want to raise your arm, and that is a way in which your arm is expressing your will that originates in your own mind, and there's a whole system within the body to enable that process to take place, culminating in the movement of the arm. So when we do a mitzvah, we are the vehicle through which God's will is manifested, because God himself has expressed and revealed his will in the laws of the Torah. These are the 248 positive commandments of the Torah. They are called the Avin de Malka, which means the limbs of the king, because they, when they are performed by the Jew in this physical world, they are an expression of God's will. Just like the movement of the finger or the arm within a human being is an expression of their will, so also when a Jew puts on tefillin or puts a penny in the charity box or eats kosher or whatever mitzvah we're talking about, that the Jew is like the, together with his movement of his body that enacts this mitzvah, is an expression of the will going through a whole system, ending up with the physical act of doing that particular mitzvah. At that point, the Jew becomes a vehicle for the divine will. Pirush, Remach, Kelim, Ulevushim. These are 248, these mitzvahs are 248 vessels and garments, Leha'ora, Me'arein Sapochu, for an enlightenment that comes from the light, the infinite light of God, blessed be He, Hamalubash Bahen, which is enclosed in them when we do the mitzvah. And from this light there is also drawn down upon the person at a certain level, dechilu urechimu. That's Aramaic for yira and ava, fear of God and a love of God. And every mitzvah has its own aspect of love and fear of God, which is generated by that particular mitzvah. Rak sham shachas zay nislapshot chila b'midas gvuras shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hamachuna b'shem eish. But first of all, this drawing down of godly light that comes down into this world through the doing of the mitzvah, first of all, is enclosed in the attribute of gevura, of severity, or strictness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Holy One, blessed be He, which is called fire, שהיא בחינת צמצום האור והחיוס הנמשך מהאור אינסוף ברוך הוא. This is a contraction of the light and the life force which is drawn down from the infinite one blessed being. כדי שתוכל להסלבש במעשה המצוות, in order that it should be able to be enclosed in the act of doing the mitzvahs. So the point that he's addressing over here is the simple problem that we are saying that just like a human being has a will to perform a particular act, and there's a whole system within the body that enables the transmission of the thought which expresses the will through the nervous system and down through to the muscles to get them to do, to get that limb, that arm, that hand, that finger to do what it wants it to do. So there has been a he'ara, there's been an enlightenment, a shining forth of an energy from the brain where the process of expressing the will takes place down through the body through to this particular limb and to enable the act to take place. Now that life force or energy which is there in the body is comparable to the general powers within the body. It's not an overwhelming energy, it's part of the body process. The brain has certain energy levels which relate to the energy levels within the body, and it's all harmoniously associated together. But the problem is that when we use this analogy to show how Hashem's will is expressed in the doing of a physical mitzvah with a similar kind of relationship with the will going through a whole process of transformation until it comes down in a physical act of doing a particular mitzvah like putting on tefillin, there's a problem there, because the original source of energy from which this all comes is God's will, which we know is infinite. Now how can you have an infinite source of energy pumping its way through however the system works and ending up with a limited source of energy, a limited expression of the energy in the doing of the mitzvah? So when you put on the tefillin, the energy, we're talking about spiritual energy here, it relates to the human being. Now human beings are limited. So how does this system work? So he explains that in order for this to happen, there has to be a tzimtzum, which means a contraction of the godly power and light through as it goes through the system to make sure that the infinite light that it's coming from does not overwhelm the system. And that's what it's referring to over here. Kedei shetuchel islabesh b'maseh hamitzvos, because sheruban kekunan heim b'dvarim chumim ketzitzis u'tfilin v'karbanos u'tzedaka, because mitzvahs are for the most part expressed using some physical movement or physical act or using a physical object, such as wearing tzitzis, which is taking wool spinning it in a certain way, and a woolen garment, and you put on the strings in a certain way, and you put it on your body in a certain way, and then you make a blessing, and you're doing a mitzvah. Or tefillin, which is made of leather. You couldn't get anything really more crass than the skin of an animal, even though a cow might be quite a kindly and unaggressive animal compared to other animals, but nevertheless it's still a pretty low physical level to say that we're going to take this skin and we're going to make parchment and leather boxes and we're going to write on this parchment, and suddenly it's going to become tefillin, this holy, holy article. But that is indeed what we're doing. So we're taking something very, very low, on a very low spiritual level, a physical thing, and we're injecting it with a high power of spirituality. And we also have korbanos, which are sacrifices, which are the animals themselves, and tzedakah, charity, which is done with money, coins, which is also very physical. And therefore there has to be a contraction of the godly light in order to come down and express itself in this lowly physical way. And so he says, well, there are also mitzvahs which are spiritual as well, which are not done with a physical object. So even those are Adam. And even mitzvahs which are in the spiritual side of a person, as we mentioned before, you have fear of God and love of God. So that really isn't using a physical object to express itself. But nevertheless, they still are limited. You can't say that a human being's love and fear of God is an infinite thing. Because to have such a great love of God without any limitations, that a person would not be able to bear in his heart, would not be able to carry such an energy in his heart. And it can't exist in his body. Even for a moment, it's a bit like, having a flow of electricity into a bulb, which is too much for the bulb. The bulb will explode. And the rabbis indeed tell us this, that when the Torah was given, and at that time, the way it's described in the Chumash, it was an outpouring of spirituality from God, of spiritual energy from God, that basically was too much for the vessels of the physical world to take. So as a result of this outpouring of an infinite power from God Himself, without the necessary tzimtzum or contraction of those energies, it caused that their souls flew away from them, and they basically died on the spot. So the rabbis say, well, how did they all come back? So it says, Tal Tyra Mechayehu, that the Jew of Tyra is what brings them back. And it basically says on Al-Kol Dibba V'Dibba Parcha Nishmasa, on every single statement which God made in the Ten Commandments, their souls departed from their bodies. So that was an example of what happens if the infinite power of God is not contracted in any way, and its effect is seen in the world without this contraction. What's the effect? It bursts the vessels which are trying to contain it. We're on page 229 now, which says Kuftes above at the top of the page. So what he's saying is that in order for there to be an expression, in order for there to be an expression of godliness through the doing of a mitzvah, it can only be through a very strong contraction of the power of the godliness, which is the generator of this mitzvah, before it gets down to the physical act of doing the mitzvah itself. So now he says that since the mitzvahs, as we've just established, have been given to us only through being enclosed in the attribute of severity or strength or contraction of the godly light has been applied in order for the mitzvah to be given to us. That is why most of the mitzvahs have a measure in the physical world. They're only allowed to be this size, this height, this length, this weight, these dimensions for this time period. There are limits. Like the length of the tzitzis is 12 thumb widths, which is 24 centimeters approximately. And the boxes of the tefillin have to be 2 fingers wide, which means 4 centimeters approximately, and they have to be perfectly square. And a lulav, a palm branch, has to be 4 hands breadth, which is approximately 40 centimeters. Vasuka zayin tefachim. No, it's a bit less actually. It's 32 centimeters. Vasuka zayin tefachim, and a sukkah, the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 hands breadths, which is approximately 56 centimeters. Vashaifa tefach, and a shaifa has to be a tefach long, which is 8 centimeters. Vamikvah memsa, and a mikveh has to be at least 40 saw, which is the size of 1 cubit, a cuboid, the size of 1 cubit by 1 cubit by 3 cubits, which is approximately 18 centimeters by 18 centimeters by 3 times 18 centimeters, which is 54 centimeters. V'chein b'karbonos yeshlem shir mutzumtzum nizman k'may kavasim b'nei shana v'einim b'nei shtayim u'parim v'chulu. And so also with sacrifices, there's a measure, a particularly limited measure of how old the animal can be in order for it to suffice for a particular kind of sacrifice, such as sheep, which are only allowed to be a year old. That's between 1 and 2 years old. V'einim b'nei shtayim, and rams can only be between 2 and 3 years old. Uparim have to be 3 years old and more, etc. V'chein b'maaseh tzedakah, and so also with giving of charity, u'gumilas chasadim, and making loans from a miner with his money, af shehum me'amudim shalom aymed aleim, even though we know that charity is one of the pillars on which the whole world depends, as it says in Pirkei Avos, that al shloish ha'devarim ha'olam aymed, that the world stands on three things, al ha'tayra v'al avayda v'al gumilas chasadim, on tayra and avayda, which means prayer, and gumilas chasadim, which means kindness, and charitable work.
Is devoted work? No?
Avaida literally means work, but the rabbis in the Talmud say, Eizaihi, it says, Vavadatem es Hashem mechol levavchem, you shall serve God with all your heart. So the rabbis say, Eizaihi avaida shebelev, hevi aimezai tefillah. What is the work of the heart? What do we do with our heart? What kind of work do we do with our heart? You don't build walls and
kindness.
No, the rabbis say heavy omazot tefillah. I would say this is prayer. Use our heart for prayer. It's true. We feel kindly.
Surely it's the mindful prayer.
The mind is obviously used for everything. We're talking about the analysis of which part of the body generates which type of energy is a whole discussion in its own right, because we know that everything goes through the brain anyway. Right. So even when you have an emotion, which we normally say the emotions have come from the heart, but we know the emotions come from the heart, but they go through the brain. So everything goes through the brain. So where's the heart coming into it at all?
The heart is the main.
It's the connection with the first commandment. You should love God with all your heart.
Of course.
So the heart is the central organ.
The heart is one of the central organs. The brain's the central organ. Really? The heart's the central organ.
The kidneys pump the blood. The kidneys
don't pump the blood. The heart pumps the blood. The kidneys are also operative in other aspects, and the liver in other aspects. They're all the major organs. They all have a major part to play, and a person can't exist without... They're called major because the person can't exist without them. So even kidneys and liver... They may not be as, you know, a person may live for a little longer without them, but not much longer. So the major organs all have a say and play in the way a person behaves, and they have an effect on the emotions. And the holy books write about how each part of the body has a different effect on the emotions.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the rabbis do conclude, what would I suggest is the avoda of the heart, the work of the heart, and the omazot tefillah, I would say this is prayer.
Right.
And then finally it says, gemilas chasadim is the third leg on which the world depends, and gemilas chasadim means loving kindness, and it includes charity and lending people money and doing good deeds and helping and so on. So these are the three pillars on which the world depends. So he says, even though it's one of the pillars on which the world depends, nevertheless, the rabbis explain that, you know, you would think, well, if this is one of the things, I just have to give away all my money.
No. Yeah. No.
You're right, no. Because the rabbis don't say no. Mm. And they say, I'm a vazvez, ali vazvez, yosem mechaimesh. That if a person is going to give away money for charitable reasons, he's not allowed to give away more than 1/5 of his money. That's in the normal case. Say, okay.
Well, 1/10.
Net. 1/10 is the necessary amount that one has to give. That's the mandatory amount.
Yeah.
But they're saying, if you want to give more, don't give more than 1/5. Basically, the rabbis say you must not impoverish yourself or your family. That when you say yourself, it means the family as well.
Yeah, right.
And you mustn't do that. Even at the you're saying, I've got to do kindness. I mean, the whole world depends on it. The answer is, you're only allowed to do it up to a certain level, because if you go beyond that, then you make yourself into a charitable case. Okay.
because you're not allowed to be a burden on the community.
Absolutely. So there's a certain fixed amount. Chaimish le mitzvah min amufka, and it would be a fifth if you want to do an extra mitzvah. Sorry, I missed out a line. Ukidichsiv Ilam Chesed Yibonet. As it says, the whole world is built on kindness. Afilo Hachi. Even so, Yesh Lashir Kotsev, there is still a limit. Choymesh, Lemitzah Min Amufcha. If you want to give more than the tenth, then it's a fifth for an especially choice mitzvah. Umaisa Lemitah Beinis, and it will be a tenth for your average. Chuluk. Vzenika Chesed Ilam. And that is called the kindness of the world. Pirish. Chesed Keil Kalayim. As it says, the kindness of God is all day. Hamislavish Bailamas Alyanim. What does it mean? Chesed Ilam. The word Ilam means something concealed. So what it means is there is kindness, but it has concealment to it as well, meaning it has limits as well. But so Hamislavish Bailamas Alyanim Sachtainim Al Yidei Sarusad Rutata. He mitzvah Satsadoka Vechesed Shaisim Neadam Zayim Zay. And how do we generate the kindness that God puts into the world and encloses in the world, in the higher worlds, the lower worlds? This is through an awakening from below that comes from the Jew down here, and that is the giving of charity, the mitzvah of charity and kindness that we do with other people, each one with the other. And because the world is a limited formation, it has limits of distance and so on. As the rabbis in the Talmud say, the distance from the earth to the sky is the distance of how far a person would walk in 500 years. The chaimri kila kira, and so from heaven to heaven, you've got the similar distance. The shis alfishni havi alma, the world is only 6,000 years in duration. So that's why there has to also be a limit in the kindness and the charitable giving that the Torah demands of us. Just like all the other mitzvahs. This, of course, only applies to somebody that's always kept the Torah and never ever diverted away from the straight path to the right or the left. Even the hair's breadth. But somebody who transgressed the way, meaning they sinned in some way, and since he has transgressed, he has twisted the path, and he has caused that there should be less divine influence in the world than he could have been had he drawn down the amount of godliness into the world that he was capable of doing from the source in God himself, and the shining forth of the light from the light of God, blessed be he, if he would have kept the Torah as it is supposed to be kept. So had he done everything that he was supposed to do, he would have brought down godliness into the world to its fullest potential. But now he's failed to keep the Torah to its fullest extent that he was capable of. So now he has limited the amount of divine presence and divine light in the world. So this person who has twisted the path is unable to put things right. He can only compensate for all of this when he realizes what he's failed to do by drawing down even more godly light than would be the norm. From the Einam Islavish Behen, and he has to draw down from levels of godliness where it's beyond worlds, and therefore it's infinite, and therefore in one go he can compensate for all the failings to draw down the godly light in the world. Hanikra Chesed Ilah, which is a higher level of Chesed, a Rav Chesed, and a greater level of Chesed, Lefishimeir, Umispashe Bibchinus Ein Sof, Beli Gvul Umida, because he was causing it to come down in a way of spreading out the infinite light of God, spreading out without limitation. Because it is no longer limited and contracted within the worlds. From the highest, and it surrounds the worlds from the highest of levels to the lowest of levels. So this, he's saying that when a person has failed to do the mitzvahs that he should have done, then the limitation of only giving a fifth of your money to charity is relaxed, and a person should give more than a fifth. He's still not allowed to impoverish himself, but if he's able, if a person's wealthy, then if he gives more than a fifth, he still won't impoverish himself. A millionaire that gives a half of his money away is still very significantly wealthy, if that's what he's earning every year. So the point is, he can go beyond the limit of the fifth in order to go into a new realm of bringing down a much greater level of godly light into the world, to compensate for the fact that over the years he's failed to do that in a measured way.
Should I not give 10% or 11% or something?
That's right. Well, beyond 10%, it says you can give anything up to 20%. But he's saying over here that if a person has failed to do the mitzvahs which he was supposed to do, and thereby is behind in the amount of godliness he has brought down into the world, he can jump ahead by going beyond limits. So when he goes beyond limits of a 20% in his giving of charity, he causes a downflow of godly light which is also beyond limits, and therefore makes up his failings much quicker. And when a person draws down this light down below through his deeds, his awakening from below, then this more infinite light of God comes down and spreads through the worlds, and does put right all the failings that he's done wrong so far, and all the lack of godly light which has been caused through his failure up till now to be brought down into the world from the holiness of above, and he renews their light and goodness with even greater strength, with a new light. That means the rabbis say, it fits in with what the rabbis say, that in the place where the Baal Tshuva stands, an ordinary tzaddik cannot stand. And what he's explaining is that the Baal Tshuva, since he's faced with the problem and challenge of putting right that which he's done wrong up till now, and bringing down godly light into the world of what he's failed to do up till now, so it gives him an extra energy and he goes beyond limits himself. He now therefore generates a godly light which is also beyond limits. So whereas the tzaddik is only bringing down a godly light which is mugbil, which is limited, and according to the Seder, Ishtarshlus, the chain system of creation, measured and measured and measured, the Baal Teshuvah is bringing down a much greater godly light, much more than the measured amount that the tzaddik brings down, and that's why he is able to recompense and put right everything that he was lacking hitherto.